But first, have you thought about getting into carbon credits? Monto Graziers Robert and Nadia Campbell are the first to sell credits under the state government's Land Restoration Fund. As the first eligible project, they'll store 165,000 tonnes of carbon on their 7,000-hectare Goondicum station for 25 years. Now, it's a complex industry, and you might have held back, not really knowing how to get involved. But soon you could find yourself fielding inquiries from developers looking to link carbon buyers with potential sellers. The Carbon Market Institute is an independent industry association. General Manager Brad Kerrin tells Tom Major there's money to be made if you know what you're doing.
Look, it's really expanding very quickly. There's been a lot of interest in the development of carbon as a commodity that buyers, large corporates can get a hold of and use for various purposes. So we're starting to see a lot of new companies entering the space. And the government, through the Emissions Reduction Fund, has really been the primary buyer of carbon. And so what we've seen is prices per Australian carbon credit unit, or a tonne of carbon, has gone from sort of $12 to $13 up to around $16, $17. And on the spot market, so out in the private sector, companies are now paying upwards of $20, $25 is what we're seeing. As climate obligations become more onerous over time, we expect to see prices increase, including prices in Australia.
Okay, Brad, can you explain a bit about the rules-based environment which carbon trading operates in? Is this a federally regulated industry?
It is federally regulated. It operates under the Carbon Farming Initiative Act, operated by the Clean Energy Regulator, is a really strong, high-quality, high-integrity market with really robust rules and regulations.
I've read recently where WA dairy farmers had been approached by some private companies offering carbon credit project management, but they decided against it after considering some of the pros and cons, saying it didn't stack up financially. Is there a bit of a concern out there about the industry attracting some cowboys, given the significant money that has been invested by state and federal governments?
There is. There's definitely perceptions out there. I'd say for an industry that's fairly young, what we've got in terms of service providers or people operating in the market to date is some really high quality operators with lots of knowledge and education. But as it starts to expand, we get new entrants, people who perhaps don't have the understanding of the rules and regulations. And so it's really critical that people who are on the land, landholders, farmers, have enough information to make informed decisions and can trust the people that they do business with.
Now, how does the CMI intend to kind of keep that reputational integrity intact?
So the Carbon Market Institute set up about 4 years ago the Australian Carbon Industry Code of Conduct, which is a voluntary industry-led code of conduct that really looks at consumer protection. I'd say we're a steward of the Australian carbon market and look to keep a watch on carbon service providers, project developers, to ensure that there's transparency, accountability, and integrity in the market. So being another set of eyes out in the market to make sure that these service providers provide landholders and farmers and traditional owners and others with enough information to make an informed decision.
Is there any guidelines around what the breakdown should be with the profits that can be accrued through carbon farming? Should there be a percentage sort of model, or is it a flat fee?
It really is very different depending on who you talk to. There's not much transparency in the market at the moment because a lot of the activities or the trading has been done in commercial and confidence contracts directly with the government. But what we're seeing now is the market opening up to a lot more private sector buyers. And so because the activities are so different and depend on the geography, the weather, a lot of other conditions, the methodologies that are used to change activities on the ground, it really does come down to the individual experience or the individual circumstances about what to expect in terms of contracting terms, prices. There's not a lot of information publicly out there, but it's something that the Carbon Industry Code of Conduct is stepping into that gap to start to develop some of those materials that can help provide understanding of these are the questions you should be asking service providers. This is what you should be making sure is in your contract.
How far along is that work? When are you expecting to maybe have some kind of broad guidelines set out on your website or through your promotional material?
We're hoping in the next 12 months. Again, it does take some time to develop up this work because there hasn't been much transparency in the market. We're working hard to understand all of the different variables and to present it in a way that doesn't make it more confusing to the market. So I'd say watch this space in the next sort of 8 to 12 months.
Have there been any referrals of projects or companies or even individuals to the Carbon Market Institute's code of conduct yet?
There have been. There's been a couple that we've just started to receive. The code of conduct moved into full operation on the 1st of July this year. And so that means we're now equipped with powers to take on complaints, to investigate, manage those complaints, but also to look at stronger evidence-based compliance monitoring and handling, and with our new independent review panel to really look at those concerns and to make rulings and decisions on taking actions against signatories to the code, so carbon service providers.
I'm thinking of maybe some of the managed investment schemes around forestry back in the late 90s and early 2000s, which, you know, were sold as environmentally progressive projects but ended up actually causing some financial distress to people. How important is it that the carbon industry gets things right?
It's critical, not just for the reputation of our industry, but the integrity of the emissions reductions that we're reporting under our international obligations. If we want to have serious climate action being taken, and if we want the products that we're creating, so carbon credits, we want to make sure that those units have high integrity and can be trusted. And look, there have been issues way back in the past with those management investment schemes, but the carbon industry has come a long way in the last decade. And it's, I can say that it really is a scheme with frameworks and legislative requirements and regulations that really make sure that some of those things are managed. But it's a good system, but it's not perfect, and we need to continually improve on the science and the regulation and definitely the education of people that are coming into this market.
That's General Manager of the Carbon Market Institute, Brad Kerrin, speaking to Tom Major. And a quick back-of-the-envelope calculation tells me that with a tonne of carbon at about $16 a credit unit, that's more than $2.6 million, or an average of $105,000 a year over the 25 years of that Goondicum deal. Of course, that doesn't take into account any of the costs or the ongoing market fluctuations, but there's no doubt that carbon's definitely going to be something that a lot of farmers are talking about into the future.